Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best amongst the among exalted devotees, text number 6. Aham va kamas tvad bhaktas. Tvam cha svam yanupashrayaha. Nanyate havayur arto. Raja Sevaka Yor Iva. Aham. As far as I am concerned, to indeed, Akama, without material desire, Twat Bhakta, fully attached to you without motivation, Twam Cha, your lordship also. Swami, the real master. Anapashrayaha, without motivation. You do not become the master with motivation. Na, not. Anyata, without being in such a relationship as master and servant. Yeha, here, avayo, are, artha, any motivation. The Lord is the pure master, and Prahlad Maharaj is the pure devotee with no materialistic motivation. Raja, of a king, seva kayo, and the servitor, Eva, like, just as a king exacts taxes for the benefit of the servant, or the citizens pay taxes for the benefit of the king.
Just as a king exacts taxes for the benefit of the servant, or the citizens pay taxes for the benefit of the king.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera Srupahoi Krishnara Nityadas. Every living being is eternally a servant of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram Yagatattva Sam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I am the proprietor of all planets, and I am the supreme enjoyer. This is the natural position of the Lord, and the natural position of the living being is to surrender unto Him. Sarva Dharma Prajaja Mame Kama Sharanam Braja. If this relationship continues, then real happiness exists eternally between the master and servant. Unfortunately, when this eternal relationship is disturbed, the living entity wants to become separately happy and thinks that the master is his order supplier. In this way, there cannot be happiness, nor should the master cater to the desires of the servant. If he does, he is not the real master. The real master commands, you must do this, and the real servant immediately obeys the order. Unless this relationship between the Supreme Lord and the subordinate living entity is established, there can be no real happiness. The living entity is Ashraya, always subordinate, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vishaya, the supreme objective, the goal of life. Unfortunately, persons trapped in this material world do not know this. Tevidu Swartikatim Hi Vishnu. Illusion by the material energy. Everyone in this material world is unaware that the only aim of life is to approach Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samacharan. In the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva explains this to his wife, Parvati, the goddess Durga, that the highest goal of life is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, who can be satisfied only when his servant is satisfied. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore teaches, Gopi Bhartu Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa. One must become a servant of the servant. Prahlad Maharaj also prayed to Lord Nrsimhadev that he might be engaged as a servant to the Lord's servant. This is the prescribed method of devotional service. As soon as a devotee wants the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his order supplier, the Lord immediately refuses to become the master of such a motivated devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita 11:4-11, the Lord says, Yeyatamam prapadyante tam sitaiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. Materialistic persons are generally inclined to material profits. As long as one continues in such an adulterated position, he does not receive the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. Aham tva karmas tvad bhaktas tvam cha swam yanupashrayaha ananyata nanyate havayor arto raja sevaka yoriva. Oh my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to Lord Nrsimhadev in the material world. And in the material world, everyone is imagining themselves to be a master, but actually everyone is a servant. Why we say a servant? Although someone may be relatively more powerful than another, because everyone is serving their senses. Kamari nam katida katita palitas duranadeshas. The senses have so many different demands. Vacha vegam, krodha, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udrapasta vegam, etan vegam, yovishheta dira, sarvam apimam prativim sasushat. There's the urges of the tongue, the mind's demands, vacha vegam, vacha means speak, manasa, the mind, vacha vegam, manasa, krodha vegam, anger, jiva, the tongue, for tasting, udrapasta, the belly, etan vegam yovishaheta dira sarvam apimam prithivim sashishat. So our body is demanding so many things from us. But of course, because out of illusion, we think we are this body. Therefore, we imagine that we're actually in control. We are the senses can only be controlled in the sense of controlled where we can actually decide what the senses are going to do if they're dovetailed in Krishna's service. Then our desire and what the body is doing are in line with Krishna's desire. Now, if we wanted to imagine ourselves to be independent masters, that we don't really have any connection with Krishna and that I'm free to do what I want, I'm free to serve my senses in whatever way they dictate to me. That's what it means to be free to do whatever I want. I'm free to allow my senses to dictate whatever they want. When the body says sleep, and I go, sure, why not? I'm completely in harmony with you. We're together 100%. And we sleep. We think, yes, I'm in control. I sleep whenever I want. Sure, I sleep whenever my body tells me I got to sleep. That when I'm lusty, that this is love. This is expression of my love. Actually, it's an expression of my conditioned nature, which I'm completely subordinate to the conception that somehow or another I'm an independent enjoyer. But actually, I'm just a servant to my senses of lust or anger or greed, whatever else may turn out. And ultimately, my body is just a idea that I have that I am this body, and that when my body is doing something, I'm doing something, exactly in the same way when you're watching a movie, and you identify yourself or misidentify yourself with the hero in the movie, or the heroine. And you think, now I've captured the heroine, now I've killed the villain, now I've gained so much, but nothing's happening. You're not doing anything. You're just watching a movie, imagining that so many things are happening to you. In the same way, we're watching this movie called Material Existence as the soul, and going, yeah, body, go for it, do it, you know, yeah, you're great, you're the greatest. But the body is sarvatapanipadam tat sarvatashishimomukam sarvatashutimalokan sarvavrityatishtate. Everywhere are Krishna's hands and legs and eyes and faces, and he exists everywhere. And this way the super soul exists pervading everything. So these are actually Krishna's hands, they're his legs, his eyes, his ears, it's his body, and through his energy, he's doing so many different things, either spiritual and material, and we're the observer, we get the result of it. If we engage in spiritual activities, then we come under La Dini Shakti, and we're in bliss. And if we engage in material activities, whatever mode of nature we're engaged in, we're under the mode of ignorance, or passion, or goodness, and we get the corresponding experience. But nothing is really happening to us. We haven't gained anything. We haven't lost anything. The soul remains perpetually, eternally the same, unchanging. Only the experience it has changes. When it identifies itself with the gross and subtle body, it has one experience. And when it identifies itself with Krishna, it has a different experience. That's all. Now, Prahlad Maharaj said, actually, I'm always your subordinate to you. I'm always your servant because you're the master eternally. And therefore, I don't want any benediction from you because it makes no sense, because the only benediction you can give me is to engage in your service. Because if I engage in your service, then I'm in bliss in your association. And, of course, the liberated souls in the spiritual world, they have a different relation with Krishna than the souls have, conditioned by the material energy. Here in the spirit, material energy, to get out of the clutches of the material nature, we have to serve Krishna's instructions. We have to offer everything to Krishna. We have to stop trying to become servant of something other than Krishna, naming our gross and our subtle illusions. So, we have to stop becoming servant of something other than Krishna. And then we can become liberated. Now, if we want to use Krishna to serve our gross and subtle body, it's quite strange. Because it doesn't benefit us. At least, permanently, it doesn't benefit us. Of course, if we step on a nail, and we ask Krishna to pull it out, and Krishna comes and pulls out the nail, then it may be, we may feel a little better. It's like the lady who's walking in the forest, and she has a very heavy burden of sticks on her head, and suddenly they fell off her head. And she goes, Govinda, help me, I'm alone in the forest, there's no one to take up these sticks again, I'm too weak to do it, please come and help me. So she was so sincere, Govinda came and said, yes, what can I do for you? She said, all these sticks, they fell on the ground. Can you please pick them up and put them back on my head? Govinda says, no problem. Picks them up, puts them back on the head, and disappears. So that's material life. Everyone's facing with carrying a heavy burden. If something happens, then we call out to Krishna, please save my burden. Put it back on my head. Give me back my wife. Give me back my house. Give me back this and that. And Krishna says, no problem, if that's what you want, I'm glad to serve you. And then we're back suffering the burden of our material desires. And forgetting our, we had the opportunity to ask Krishna for something beneficial, but instead we asked him for something insignificant. It's like the man who was all day long, he'd take his boat down the river, Ganges, to pick up the load, and then when he come back, then he'd have to pull the, or to deliver the load, and when he came back, he'd have to pull the boat back up the river, because the current was going the opposite way, and he'd have to step on all these rocks. So he prayed to Krishna, please save me So Krishna said, yes, what can I do? He said, I'm pulling all this boat back up the river, and I'm stepping on all these sharp rocks. Can you put pillows up and down the river so I won't have to step on the heavy rocks anymore? So Krishna said, no problem. So Krishna put pillows up and down the river. So whenever he had to pull the boat back up the river, he had pillows to step on. He never thought, Krishna, can you bring me back to the spiritual world? Where I don't have to step on all these heavy rocks. So this is the conditioned soul's foolishness. As that movie of Tukaram, when his wife was doing the household chores, and Krishna came, or the airplane came to take Tukaram back to the spiritual world, and he ran into his house and said, wife, come with me. There's a spiritual airplane that's coming to take us back to the spiritual world. She said, no. She said, I got so many things. I got to complete the household chores first. You go back to the spiritual world. I'll join you later. So then Tukaram boards the Vaikuntha airplane. He's about to fly back to the spiritual world. And his wife went, wait a second. I think I just made a mistake. And then you see her running to try and catch the plane, the Vaikuntha airplane, and too late. The airplane pulls out, and Tukaram's waving goodbye to everyone, and she's stuck on the ground. She can do some more household chores. So here in the material world, we're stuck in the material existence, trying to solve our material problems, hoping against hope that somehow or another we can solve enough of them that we can have a peace for 15, 20 minutes, and then back serving the burden of self-created duties. We never think that I have nothing to do with this material world. Why am I working so hard for solving material problems? Why don't I solve my own problems? Why am I so interested in solving everyone else's problem? Why don't I solve my problem? Why don't I become Krishna conscious? And then I won't have any more problems to solve. And if Krishna wants me to solve some problems as his instrument, then Krishna will make me as his instrument, and he'll solve whatever problems he wants to solve. But as far as my problem is that I'm trying to solve problems outside of Krishna's. My problem is that they've forgotten Krishna. I've forgotten that I'm Krishna's servant, and I should only do things that will actually satisfy Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.